It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British and American people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice.
Bear ourselves, that if the British Empire and its commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their fight.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Skype of Cthulhu presents Acton Cthulhu, the Trailbird Monstrosities by John Hulley.
Hi everyone, Jim here. Stay tuned after this gaming session for an interview with Mr. John Houlihan, the author of The Trailbird Monstrosity. Until then, please enjoy this week's session of The Trailbird Monstrosities, and we'll talk to you on the other side. So, just to give you guys a little context, on the northern Scandinavia map, the fjord that kind of comes in and forks right onto the very top of the A in Norway. So the A in Norway is kind of stuck between a fjord on the north side and then a little finger of Finland that sticks out on the south side. That fjord is the one you guys came down. So the other map, the one called the Norwegian-Finnish border, is basically a close-up of the area around that A.
Okay.
And on that other map, the Norwegian-Finnish border map, so your route took you down the main fjord from the top of the map. The island where you stopped to rest is right where it's actually labeled, pause to recon, just under the N in Norwegian. Your path then took you across that fjord into the one that forks out to the right, past the village of Olderdalen. The chain that you guys crossed was just past where it forks off again, and there's a little very narrow fjord that kind of moves directly south. The chain was just past where that forks off. So you're still going on the thick, on the, to the kind of the southeast. You then got out of the canoes and met the resistance where that fjord kind of comes down to a point and becomes very thin, right where it becomes very narrow. That's where you guys got out, and you have been making your way south from there, or kind of south and south and east
towards Finland,
towards that lake. You know, you can see that if you follow the fjord down, it kind of ends in a large lake, and then you would know that the village of Trelleborg is just across the border into Finland, where it comes up to a point there.
Over the N, where it's that little, like, two little fingers?
Which map are you looking at?
This is the Norwegian-Finnish border one, right?
Yeah.
Because I see the point coming down between the R and the W into the big lake.
Yes. Yep. So you're following that trail down to the big lake, and then the border of Finland is that orange line?
Yeah.
And so where it comes up to its highest point.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
The village of Trelleborg is just across that point.
It's where the trolls come from, of course.
Of course. Okay, so you've been skiing for a while now. You saw a reconnaissance aircraft go over a little while ago. You were frightened by a bear. And you are continuing your way south. Up again. Okay. So just about the time when you get to, if we go back to the Norwegian-Finnish border map, right about kind of even with the W in Norway, the terrain here is fairly rugged, right? You know, there's lots of hill, there's lots of mountains and cliffs and valleys, and you know, you kind of have to follow the paths through the mountain, through the pass through the mountains, and there's, you don't really have a whole lot of choice in the way you're going, you know, unless you're going to start doing some serious mountaineering, right? However, you do come to a road, and Sven, who, if you remember, is your local guide from the resistance, kind of stops everyone, and he climbs up to the top of this ridge that looks down onto the road, and you know, then kind of comes back to you and tells you that there is a German armored convoy on the road.
Well, I don't like the sound of that one bit.
Yeah, for now, I guess we need to move out of the way, hide as much as we can, and you know, see if we can spot anyone of importance on that on the trucks from a distance.
Well, you're all able to make your way up to the top of the ridge, and you know, you can very easily hide over the edge and you know, kind of peek down onto the road, and you can see that it is a rather large armored column, tanks and half tracks and trucks and.
Wow, is this going south as well? You know, in the direction where you know we are going.
The road is more of an east-west, kind of going from the north and kind of going northeast-southwest.
Well,
the convoy is parked. They're not moving.
Can we see why?
Nope. You don't see any kind of obvious reason why they might stop. They're just stopped.
Does it look like they're all just acting normal? Or any of them, like, frantically moving around?
Nope.
As if there's a problem?
Nope.
Well, I'll ask Sven. Hey, Sven, is this the way they would take to... Do you think they're coming or going from Trelborg?
This road, it does not go to Trelborg.
Where does it come from and go to?
It goes from and to someplace unrelated to the scenario.
All right. Well, do we have to make it across this road to get to Trelborg?
I am afraid that this is the case. Yes, this is the only pass for 20 kilometers in either direction.
So, what do you think? I guess we just gotta wait them out.
Yeah, we need to wait until they are gone.
Or I could devise a distraction with some explosives. And draw them away to one area while we cross in another.
I'm not so sure that would be such a good idea.
Yeah, that will just call their attention. So let's wait and see if they will go. They need to keep going. I don't believe they will stay there on the bridge. So,
as you say that, Agent Chance, Mr. Seraph kind of looks over at you. Yes, I think that waiting them out is an excellent idea. I think things will change in a bit.
Okay, can I make a psychology roll on that creepy yeah. statement?
Well, as you may, but as he says that, he kind of shuffles back down the ridge the way you came, and kind of disappears off into a clump of trees.
He's gonna go baptize a bush.
Did you want to make a psychology roll?
I did, and I failed with a 47.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Peebs is only at base.
Well, you may interpret that as you choose, then, I suppose.
Just creepy. It's weird, well, weird foreigners.
Yeah, he already called in the mist when we were coming here. That's what Chance is thinking, right?
And as you're thinking himself, that...
It's not showing that.
The wind starts to come up. Not a strong wind, just a good stiff breeze.
Mm.
And a moment after that, you can see coming along the valley where the road is, a pretty good thick fog rolls in, and as the fog kind of starts to envelop this German column, you can see, you know, the Germans that were visible are kind of, you know, buckling down into their vehicles. The tank hatches are being closed, that sort of thing. And at that point, you notice that Seraph has rejoined you, and he looks at Agent Chan. How remarkably lucky for us, Agent. Perhaps this would be good cover for us to cross the road.
I agree. Let's go. This guy is really freaking me out, but I'm gonna, you know, try to look brave for the good of the company. So let's go, guys.
All right, Chansey, let's go.
So you make your way down the ridge and cross the road, and I need everyone to make a sneak roll, please.
Fail. Ooh. With a 75.
Well, I'm not entirely certain what Professor Everett's sneak skill is, but I'm pretty certain that a 99 is not going to be a pass.
Oh, he stops for a dramatic pause.
So as you're kind of making your way, you know, across the road next to a panzer tank, the hatch pops open, and you see, you know, kind of through the mist. It's a very thick fog. You know, you can just kind of see the outline, right? You can't actually, you know, see the person. The hatch pops open, and you see someone pop up. And do either of you speak German?
I speak 11% of it.
Okay. He pops up and says, "Halt! Who goes there?"
He's for the professor, right? The rest of us already crossed.
Yeah, you're all kind of.
I'm assuming, yeah,
you know,
all grouped together, yeah. Probably.
No, you're not that far apart.
Okay, where is this tank located? Is it at the end of the convoy or in the middle?
Somewhere in the middle. Oh. Mr. Seraph, who is right behind Professor Everett, says in German, or calls out in German, "It's Churchill and Stalin. We've come for a little stroll." And at that point, the tank commander kind of chuckles, and you can hear the crew from inside the tank, you know, bust out laughing.
I'll laugh as well.
And Mr. Seraph, you know, kind of waves you to keep going.
Okay.
Keep on going.
Okay.
I didn't get the joke. So I'll continue going with the rest of them. Professor, I told you to get down.
He just kind of looks at you blankly.
Always causing trouble. All right, so get out of the way.
Yep, so otherwise you're able to, you know, cross through the column and continue on your way, skiing through the countryside. Why don't you both make skiing rolls just for fun?
Oh, 94.
77, fail.
Agent Chance is falling down a lot, but 94 is not quite enough to hurt yourself, so no worries there. Sven leads you, you know, through the countryside for the rest of the day, and you would now be until evening comes on, and you are after a long day of skiing. You're all quite tired, and you are just at kind of the top end of that lake.
Okay.
And Sven leads you to a small hut. This will be a good place for us to spend the night, and rest up before continuing to Trollborg.
Okay, so as long as he's right and it looks like a good spot, I guess we can stop by.
Yeah, it's a small hut. You know, it looks like something that the local hunters would use, you know, just for a temporary stopover. It's in a small clearing. You know, it's as remote as could be, so.
Just like the previous hut, yeah.
Yep.
You seen one hut, you seen them all. And,
okay.
Yeah. So I'll ask Sven if he thinks we'll be to Trelleborg by tomorrow.
Oh, certainly we will be in Trelleborg before lunch, I think. Before lunch. Should not take much longer from here.
And you said you had a lady friend there that you met up with? I believe.
His cousin.
What was her name?
My brother is there.
Oh, that was his brother. All right. Well, hopefully we can find your brother and clear this all up.
I certainly hope so as well. I do not know what has happened to them, but I'm definitely concerned.
Well, then we should just start. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, just to refresh my memory, what is the last thing he heard from his brother?
The last report from Trelleborg was that a SS unit had come into the village.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, and then his brother, Olaf, was the one that was talking to him on the radio. Yep. Yeah, I have some note here about the woman named Malia.
His wife, right?
Was that Olaf's wife, or... Hmm.
Just a second. Let me see if I...
So maybe that was someone that Seraph knows.
I doubt that. Come on. Okay, yeah. Malia is Olaf. Olaf is Sven's brother. Malia is his woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, that's what that is.
All right, sweet. Well, then I'll say, well, boys, I need to rest up. I still have this terrible cold I'm trying to get over.
Yeah, that's a good idea. The rest of us will have to take turns during the night just to make sure that, you know, there are no Nazis coming our way or more bears.
Yes, Seraph kind of pipes up. Yes, I do not think that the Black Sun themselves would come here, but as we have seen, there are many patrols already. I will volunteer to take the last watch before dawn.
Okay. In that case, I will... we are a lot, so I will divide the group and assign hours for each one of them.
Given that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of you,
mm-hmm.
Everyone, you know, is only going to have to do like an hour of watch.
An hour.
Something like that, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Very well. Peeps offers to take first watch.
Well, you can go and rest if you want.
Oh, well, very well. Thanks, Chansey. And he doesn't think about it twice, that offer. It just walks, turns right around, goes, stands outside, smokes his one cigarette off duty now, and then goes in and tries to go to sleep and recover this con damage.
Yeah, so... We are gonna. More likely, I'm going to take the first turn.
Okay.
And stay awake.
So everyone else, you know, bundles themselves up, and why don't you roll me? Let's just do a spot hidden agent's hands.
Spot hidden. 24. That's a pass.
So nothing, you know, nothing. You don't see anything or hear anything or. Nothing untoward during your watch.
I'm trying to, you know, trying to remember what I heard on the division about the Black Sun. See if I recall any names or any important missions that I heard or read about.
You would know that the Black. Yeah, you would probably have picked this up. That the Black Sun is a special SS unit that was formed by Hitler to seek out artifacts throughout the world, which he being Hitler, thinks he can use in the war.
Right. And he mentioned something about an artifact that, you know, I don't recall very well, but he did mention something about a weapon or something, right? From the old gods.
Correct. There are legends of a weapon of some kind.
Okay.
From the old Viking gods.
Right. Okay. Okay. as soon as I, you know, maybe I will take some more time if I'm not feeling too tired and wake the next one up.
Okay. We'll say that's Professor Everett, and his watch goes fairly well. And Professor Everett would probably wake one of the other soldiers. and he would probably wake one of the other soldiers, and their watch goes fine. So the night passes. Peeves, why don't you give me a roll? You'll have a watch in there somewhere.
Alrighty. Spot hidden, you said?
I did.
That's a fail, 76.
Okay. You don't particularly see or hear anything. You know, every once in a while you kind of get spooked by, you know, the wind in the trees. Wait a second, was that a... Yeah, but nothing really happens that you feel the need to warn or wake everyone else up.
Okay.
So you wake, you know, you're probably next to last, so you wake Mr. Seraph and drop back off for a last hour of sleep.
And out of character, Jim, what's the healing time for, like, con damage and stuff like that?
Since you got a good night's sleep in a warm cabin, you may have it all back now.
Awesome. That is very, very awesome. All right. Wake up feeling like a new man.
Actually, you're woken up a little early.
Uh-oh.
Actually, no, you're not. Never mind. Sorry. Agent Chance.
Yes.
You awake to find Seraph, Mr. Seraph, shaking you gently and leaning in close to you. And as your eyes kind of come open and kind of roll over and look at him, he whispers to you,
there is a German patrol coming. They will be here in less than 30 minutes, I believe.
Okay. Since I know that he knows stuff and I don't want to know how he knows, I will just get ready and wake everyone else up. Hey guys, get ready. A patrol is coming. We need to get moving.
All right. What's the plan, Chance? We just going to outrun them?
Oh, I will say let's go and look for some cover, stay away from open spaces. And see, you know, where exactly are they looking for. If they're looking for us, if they're looking for something specific in the area. Or if it is just, you know, just a patrol.
Hmm. Jim, so we're in a clearing?
Yes.
And there's all forest around us, is that...
That is correct.
Okay, sweet. I say, hey, Chansey, why don't we pack up, get ready to leave, just like you said, and go look for him. But why don't we make some tracks up and out a different direction from Trelborg, and then double back and watch them and see if they are looking for us, maybe they'll just go the other way.
Yeah, why not? It's a good idea. Let's give it a try.
All right.
So we need to take less than 10 minutes doing that, or less than 50 minutes doing that.
So we just... So. Pack up everything in a hurry and then just do that?
Yeah.
All right. That's what we're going to do, Jim.
Okay. So everyone packs up. You clear out. You know, Sven kind of clears the fire out, tries to damp it down with the snow. So is everyone going to make the false tracks, or just one or two of you? Or?
Why don't we have... half of us do the false tracks, and then the other half just cover.
Yeah, not everyone. So, you know, they won't know how many we are in total. So let's just, you know, pretend tracks for four people.
Yeah.
Okay. So four of you head off to make some false tracks. The other four find cover in probably, 10 minutes? Probably not much more than that. You don't want to wait. The guys making tracks come back and join the rest of you, and you just hunker down behind a tree or a snowbank or something. And
yeah, I would say kind of on the edge of the clearing in the forest.
Okay.
I mean, I guess how big is the clearing? How far away would it be?
15 meters, 20 meters.
Okay, perfect. I get my silenced Sten MK2 out and wait. Say, don't worry, Chansey, I got this.
Yes, as we said, we had codes, so it's going to be easier for us to use the snow as camouflage if we just get down the ground.
Okay. Just as good as that. No problem.
Okay. So, just a few minutes later, you can hear, you know, the sound of what sounds of a bunch of people skiing. And a few minutes after that, you see a German officer followed by eight German troops.
Wow.
Eight German soldiers, all of whom are on skis. You know, they're all dressed in cold weather gear. They have rifles slung. Enters the clearing. And they look around. They kind of approach the hut. And, you know, you can hear that. You can hear them conversing in German, noting the tracks and, you know, kind of pointing and off the, you know, false tracks and looking off that way. You see one of the soldiers hunker down in front of the hut, and you realize that he is wearing a radio. And he pulls off, you know, he kind of sets down, sets the radio up, starts trying to spin it up.
Oh, no.
Are they SS or?
No.
Can we make any sort of check to determine who they are? Are they in military uniform?
Yes.
Yeah, they are. Okay.
Yes.
But we can't tell.
Okay. We're from safe distance, so.
Well, you can tell that they're not SS.
Mm-hmm.
You would recognize them as just, you know, regular German army, you know, mountain soldiers.
Okay.
A mountain corps. So I just remembered that there was a plane that saw us coming here. We need to get rid of the radio guy and the officer first. So let's try to kill them first and then shoot the others down.
So you give me the order to kill?
Yeah, pass down the word.
Agent Chance? All right, I pull up the silent Sten.
Okay, hang on.
What's going on?
Oh, Professor.
Just in time.
Just in time for a bloody battle?
Yes.
Corporal Barker, what is your dex?
My dex is 15.
And Agent Chance?
13.
And Professor Everett?
The highest, 11.
Of course.
At least Annette's not here. I'm not going to get shot in the stabbed in the back. I'm never going to let you live that down, Jim.
Never. They are all there. And the officer is...
That's okay. I've been shot by Randall.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Just paying orders?
While I was being eaten.
Oh, friendly fired. Oh. Yes. What's eating you? The bear?
I can't... Spoilers.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're not with us. Okay, got it.
So you guys are, you know, whatever you're going to do, you're going from cover and would clearly have the element of surprise, so all three of you can do as you wish.
Yeah, so let's see. Who's the best shot? Is that you?
I'll look over at Agent Chance and I'll... In one hand, I'll hold out a grenade, and then the other hand, I'll hold out the silent Sten and kind of like give the which one.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go with grenade, and as soon as the grenade explodes, everyone shoot it down.
All right, so everyone gets out a grenade, and then I'm sure we do the synchronized 1, 2, 3. Are we throwing on 3 or after 3?
on 3, peeps. God damn it.
Sorry, Chansey, I don't know the rules.
I say, these Americans. This is almost as bad as a net.
You watch it, Professor. You and your fancy book learning.
Make sure the grenade's not pointed in my direction.
And then a heave-ho.
Oh, we're all throwing grenades? Awesome.
That's a fail. Not a botch.
Okay, Peeb's grenade explodes off to the side of the clearing somewhere. Well clear of any German soldiers.
We all took cover.
I will try to shoot the guy on the radio, actually.
You're not going to throw a grenade at him?
Well, I thought surprise round.
I'm throwing a grenade.
Yeah, you throw a roll.
Ooh, 0-6.
Nice.
I think I missed the default's 25. I missed by 2. Is there any bonus for surprise, or is it just straight up?
Nah, just straight up.
Okay.
More interesting that way. Okay, so Agent Chance, who were you throwing your grenade at?
Near the side of the radio guy.
Okay. Roll up some damage.
I don't know how many.
Yeah, I have no idea.
What's the damage for grenades?
That's a good question.
25. Some... 25, I believe, just base thrown.
No, the not the base. I already hit.
Oh, the damage. What I had on mine was 46 divided by 4 yards, I guess is what it said. So 46 in 4 yard range, I think.
46. Yeah, just call it 4d6, because they're all... Okay, that makes sense.
4d6, yes. Here we go.
Try to roll high.
Well, it's pretty high. 11, 15, 18.
All right, we'll keep you.
okay. Just a moment.
He's like Clarence Mitchell.
He's unstoppable, except when Shagosh show up. Then he's runnable.
Okay, so you had a good throw. You pretty much hit the radio operator with the grenade. So he is well blown up, as is the radio. The officer was near enough to him that he kind of caught some shrapnel and is thrown back. Professor Everett, you said you kind of just threw off.
My default is 25, and I got a 27. So I'm presuming I just missed or something like that when I threw my grenade, unless I can change my action if
because
for me.
Yeah, because you were all throwing at the same time. So
yeah, I figured. So.
But that didn't miss by much, so why don't you do a D4?
Ooh. 1 point in honor of chance.
Okay.
You took a chance, Professor Everett.
I did.
Yeah, so another one of the soldiers happens to catch some shrapnel from your thrown grenade. The other two privates with you both did very well, and two of the German soldiers are taken out by grenades as well, leaving. So we will go back from the top. So there's the officer who is wounded. There is one wounded German soldier and 4 unwounded German soldiers. So from the top, Corporal Parker.
I will pull out, since nobody's moved yet, I'm going to pull out another grenade.
Okay.
And that's another fail.
No!
64. Not a botch.
Boom!
No!
The officer swings his MP40 around towards you.
Uh-oh.
And lets loose a shot that hits someone.
Not me. Hit Chance.
Agent Chance.
Yay! too bad.
And Agent Chance, you may have 8 points of damage.
Oh!
Wow! Oh, okay, so I need to make a con roll.
No, that's 10% of your hit points. What are you talking about?
Well, let me do the con roll.
Well,
are
you going to try and dodge it, Chansey?
Can dodge bullets, can we?
No. No bullet dodging.
Isn't this like the Matrix? I'm Neo, guys.
Genre mixing. Ooh.
44 out of 45.
Okay.
Wow.
Agent Chance is hurt, but not down, and you may have a go, Agent Chance.
Yeah, I'm going to take out I have a submachine, and I'm going to use it to, to see how many of those soldiers can I take with one round. Let's see. Oh, 17. It's not an impale, but it's pretty good.
Okay. So who are you shooting?
All the, the guy, the guy just shoot at me and shot at me and whoever else can I take with them?
Yeah, just him.
Oh, okay. So 1d10 plus 2, it says, this is Let's see. Submachine gun, 32% damage, 1d10 plus 2. It says ATTS, 1.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Base range.
Yep, one attack.
Yeah, 20 shots. Okay, so 1d10 plus 2. Ah, 3 points.
Okay. So you hit the officer again. Okay. So we have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm a dex of 12, if that makes a difference. Not 11, Jim. I just looked at my character sheet. But...
Okay. Actually, it does not.
Okay. Just throwing it out there.
So the 5 German soldiers unsling their Mauser rifles and start taking shots. Two of them will get hits in. One of them will hit Corporal Barker.
No.
No, hit the NPCs with us.
Corporal Barker, you may have 10 points of damage.
Oh, ouch.
Get down, beeps.
Walk it off, walk it off.
I'm not looking good, Chansey. I'm dying.
Walk it off.
The other one will hit one of your privates, who will take a fairly substantial amount of damage.
Uh-oh.
Which requires him to make a con roll, which he fails. And you see one of your privates fall unconscious. And with that...
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim.
Yeah.
I need to make a con roll.
Okay.
Con times 5, right?
Yep.
That's a fail. 88.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Passes out face first in the snow.
Thump.
It's not looking good, Professor.
Oh, you just noticed. So how many Jerrys are left in... I think it sounds like there's more than 4, right?
There is the officer who is pretty well wounded. There is one soldier who is lightly wounded. And there are 4 soldiers who are completely unwounded.
And is this out in the wilderness where we met them? Because I came in late as a player.
You're basically... your group is in cover surrounding a clearing
mm-hmm.
in which is a small hut that you spent the night in.
Mm-hmm.
And then this German patrol is basically in the clearing around the hut.
What happened to, what's his name? Satriani or something like that. Is he with us or?
Both Mr. Seraph and Sven are with you. Yes.
Okay. Did one of the privates who just drop a submachine gun? Did I hear that right?
I do have one.
Well, old Peebsy, who's passed out right now, has one slung around his shoulder.
Okay. I might grab that if I could try to hit more than one person, since it gives a bonus.
Yeah, it's a 2 burst.
Is that something I could do in one combat round, Jim? Or...
Yep.
Okay. And it sounds like the 4 soldiers are closest together, or is the officer next to someone, too?
Well, the officer is next to a radio operator who is now mush, thanks to... a well-thrown grenade. The rest of them are just kind of scattered throughout the clearing.
I'm going to throw a grenade, and I think I'm going to throw it at the 4... I mean, it sounds like the 4 unwounded ones. There's 4 unwounded ones, and there's an officer, and then there's another wounded one.
Correct.
And the officer's not near anyone. So I think I'll throw a grenade at the closest group, which sounds like the 4, right?
They're probably in groups of 2, so there's probably 2 of them.
Okay, yeah. And we've all got cover already and everything, and it sounds like the officer is the only one who's got a submachine gun, and the others have rifles. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Then I will go for the officer, since a submachine gun is more damaging if he lets out on us.
Okay.
Ooh, 12.
That's your grenade.
I say for England.
Okay, roll your damage.
What is it? 46, you guys said?
Yep.
Yeah.
14.
One of the officer's limbs is blown off, and he falls into the snow.
Nice.
It's my second grenade.
Your guide, Sven, will take a shot and will hit one of these soldiers who takes the bullet in a bad place.
Uh-oh.
And he falls to the ground. He falls to the snow. You're not really sure if he's dead or just unconscious, but he falls. Your remaining private takes a shot, and he hits another one of the soldiers, who takes the shot in a bad place, but he is still standing, although he looks very severely wounded. In just a moment.
Is Chance unconscious, too?
No.
Okay.
Just peasy.
Thought you abandoned me again, Chance. Turn to talk to you, you're down. Oh, crap.
I'm trying to look, how do you play the submachine gun?
From what I recall, you get a bonus if you do a full burst, and then the number of bolts that hit is a d20 with the standard rules, but only the first bolt can crit or impale.
Yeah, but how do you get the burst?
You just declare you're going to do a full burst, which I think is 10 bullets, and it's a plus 30, as I understand it. Or actually, no, in the standard rules, every bullet you expend is plus 5%. And I can give you the page for that since Jim's – let me grab my book.
I'm browsing the 6th edition, and I can find it.
Yeah, I'm looking too.
So this is a 6th edition book. Let me find it. It's page 63, I believe, has a lot of the other stuff here. Automatic weapon burst, which is in the top left of page 63 of 6th edition.
And I am back, so.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, I see that. That's
we're trying that's to nice figure show. Out how to use the submachine, Jim.
Now would be a good time.
So we're back to the top. Corporal Barker is unconscious.
Yay.
The German officer is dead.
Yay.
Agent Chance.
All right, so...
So how many bullets are in your gun, Randall?
It says 20. 20 shots. I don't know if that's the amount of bullets.
What's your chance to hit, like, base?
No, 35.
So for every 5 points you... For every bullet you use in this burst, it's plus 5%. So if you do like 10, that's 50% to your 35, giving you an 85% chance to hit. Or you could break it up more if you don't want to spend time reloading. But this battle will be over probably in the next 2 to 3 rounds, I suspect, one way or another.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that I can do, you know, as much damage as possible when I use it.
So when you hit, you roll d20 to see how many of the bullets hit based on how many you fire. So if you fired like 10... You'd roll a d10 probably.
Okay, so let me see. So let me see if I hit first.
All right, so you should have an 85% chance of 10 bullets.
I got 56.
And then you'd roll a d10 to see how many of those bullets hit.
Okay. 2.
So that's your damage is what, a d6, a d8? You'd roll one, 2 dice.
1d10 plus 2.
Oh,
so it's 1d10 for each one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the first one,
And who were you shooting at?
To the two standing soldiers.
Okay.
So 2 and 2. So that means 4 and 4 to each one of them with the burst.
They say ouch. let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. The 4 standing soldiers will take shots at you.
No!
2 of which will hit again.
Oh, no.
No, hit the NPCs.
It would have been more if you weren't in cover.
And right. Now, am I in extra cover since I am just, like, flat prone on my face?
Yes.
They want to get the job awesome. Done.
Agent Chance, you may have 3 points of damage.
Okay.
And Professor Everett.
Oh, my first hit. And my first hit of an enemy, not friendly fire.
You may have 7 points of damage.
Well, that's one more point than Annette did to me. I believe I need to make a con check, yes. And I made it swimmingly, but I'm very hurt. But
okay.
Okay, so one sec, Jim.
Yeah.
Because I'm minus one. Minus one right now.
Okay.
Those minus 3 points.
And it is Professor Everett's go.
So I see Chance go down. And
it looks like Chance is gravely wounded.
So Chance went down, and are there any NPCs on my side who are up? I think there's two, maybe?
There are three, yes. There is a the one of the privates, your guide, Sven, and Mr. Seraph.
Has Seraph been doing anything?
Nope.
Does he look like he's mumbling, or is he just watching and taking cover?
Nope, he's just watching and taking cover.
So
he does move to assist Agent Chance when Chance goes down.
But not Peebs. Does the guide have a weapon he's firing, or is he just taking cover?
Nope, he's in it.
Okay. So I see how many wounded soldiers. I think there were two wounded ones that Chance hit previously.
That is correct. There are four German soldiers still standing.
Mm-hmm.
One of them looks very severely wounded, although he has managed to not fall. And the other three, they're obviously hit, but they're not too bad.
Okay, and they're in groups of two, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to grab Peeb's submachine gun now, and I'm going to fire. And I think I can hit two of them?
Sure.
There's 32 shots in the gun.
Not for much longer.
And yeah, I'm gonna go all out because I'm at three health. I'm almost gone, baby. So I've got the default 15. I will basically use enough bullets to put it up to 95, which I think I can do with your 32. And I did not impale on the first bullet. That's going to be a lot. Roll D20 here. 10 bullets hit. So
nice.
Should I just say 5 to each of them, or
it's D10 D10 minus 2 for the damage.
Should I even roll? Since it's 5 each.
Yeah, you should. You never know.
Okay. All right. Fortunately, I have got a lot of D10s here. So
nice.
The first guy. So you said D10 plus 2 or minus 2?
Minus 2 was really? What my stats
for
said.
The gun? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's probably because it's silenced. That's why.
Okay. So the first chap took a ton of damage, 20 points, even with the minus 2 per die. The next guy is equally lucky and takes 19.
Okay, they both go down.
And I need to figure out how many bullets are left based on the 15 to 95. That's.
Sven takes a shot with his rifle, and one of the two remaining soldiers goes down. So there is only one soldier remaining. One of the privates takes a shot and misses.
It's useless.
Agent Chance, we will come back to you, but you're not dead.
Does this guy surrender, or does he fight on?
I'm just like totally thinking about Professor Everett grabbing like the submachine gun and just mowing these guys down right now. Just great mental picture.
And screaming for England.
So we're back to the top. Corporal Barker is unconscious. Agent Chance is unconscious. The officer is dead. The one remaining German soldier.
Did I say using Peeb's body as cover? No, just kidding. Push his body up, hide behind it.
Totally viable option. He does not know. He can't object.
He fires and he hits the other private, who looks like he is quite wounded. He will, but he is not. He makes his con roll, so he's okay.
Hooray!
Professor Everett.
So there's one Jerry left, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, you said there were 32 bullets in this?
32, correct? Yes. And make sure to take that skill.
true. I used I used 16, so there's 16 left. So I'm going to guarantee myself almost another hit. Let's roll, make sure I don't botch. Yes, but not in almost an impale, but not quite. This lucky contestant.
Shannon, just to be fair, I just read that you cannot go up to the double of your skill.
Oh, okay.
So you you get the 5 multiplier, but you cannot further than the double of your.
Well, I hit the first time regardless, I think, with that. But let me double check this. So my default's 15, so 30. So I did not hit this time when I emptied the clip. Or actually, I probably didn't empty the clip if I could only do that. So I fired some bullets.
Okay.
3 bullets.
That's what I always 13 said. 13 doesn't pay off.
No, that's okay. I didn't.
Sven takes a shot at the remaining soldier and misses. The wounded private takes a shot at the soldier misses.
On our side, damn it.
We roll all the way back around to Professor Everett. You can go again.
All right. I'm going to use 3 bullets and put my skill up from 15 to 30. Woo! Here we go. Oh, 27.
Nice.
That was 3 bullets. Nice. So I'll roll a D3. 2 bullets hit. And I think it's, how much is it? A D10 plus minus 2, you said? So yes. He takes only 4. But he was hurt. Maybe that's enough.
It is not. He looks he looks more than willing. He looks angry.
Oh, it's getting ugly.
And again, Shannon, you can put more bullets than, enough to double your skill. You just, the maximum amount of, skill that you have is double, even if you put up 10 bullets, for instance.
Okay.
The German soldier takes a shot and misses. Sven takes a shot and misses.
Jesus.
The wounded private takes a shot and hits, and the soldier falls.
Oh, finally.
I'm like on the ground in the snow near Peeb's body, troubling hands, suddenly pulling out a cigarette to light while my hand's shaking, lighting it up. Probably the wrong end. I put the lid in my mouth for a second. Oh, turn it back around. Yes. And then realize, I should probably check Peeb's.
So Agent Chance, you come to, and you find that, strangely, you're not quite as wounded as you thought you were. You do see Mr. Seraph kind of leaning over you. And you may have 4 hit points back.
Okay, I'm back to... So that's from minus 1, right? Or 3 points from my total hit points?
No. So 4 from where you... So you're at... You should be... If you were at minus 1, you should be at 3.
Okay. So I'm back to 3. So I open up my eyes. are they all dead now?
Yes. And I was standing at the end.
Yes, Agent Chance, your men have acquitted themselves quite well against the Germans.
Well done, Professor.
I will... Thank you, Chance. I'll try to heal Peebs, and if I fail, I'll point out that someone else should do it. 70 probably won't make it on the first aid, since I'm not a first aid guy. So I say, he needs some healing here. And I, come to think of it, I need one too. Look at the wound in my gut. And I show everyone the big bolt hole with blood leaking out and smile. I'm probably not used to being shot like this. I'm still in shock.
Sven comes over to first aid Professor Everett. You may have 1 point back, Professor Everett.
Oh, that's a good lad, yes. I'm at 4. More than chance. Wow.
Mr. Seraph moves on to Corporal Barker. And Corporal Barker, you come to and find that you weren't hurt quite as bad as we kind of thought you were. You may have 5 hit points back.
Oh.
Can I go stand near Seraph and realize I'm not as hurt as I could have been too?
when I come to, is Seraph, what is he doing? Is he just next to me?
Yeah, he's just kind of leaning over you. You were unconscious, so you don't really know what he may or may not have done.
Jeez, come on, give me some space. Just kind of stand up and...
Have you stopped eating snow, man? Oh, we got him, peeps. We got him. Let's do a search. Let's see if they got some papers with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that.
Let's get weapons and provisions if they had any.
Sven moves over to first aid the private who fell unconscious and botches his first aid roll.
Unfortunately, I don't have any per se. It's a bait.
I go over to Sarah and say, anything you can do for this wound here? Because I imagine I'm seeing that he's helping people, or am I not? If I'm not, then I won't go over and say that.
No, you say that he looks like he's doing some kind of first aid or something.
But he seems to be doing an exceptionally good job, right?
Yes.
So I'll go over and ask him, hoping he doesn't remember I called him a dick last session. I'm sure he doesn't hold a grudge.
I would be. He looks a little weak, a little tired. I would be happy to help you, Professor. Just in a bit, please. I need to rest.
Oh yes, of course. Cigarette?
No, thank you. Perhaps later.
My hand's like trembling while I hand it to him. Oh yes, very good.
Can I apply to my other wound then?
Him? I'm sorry, can you what?
Apply, first aid. I have two shots,
yep.
I think.
Yes, you can first aid both of them. Neither of them have actually been first aided.
Okay, got it. Oh, 35. that's the base, right? Or is it 30?
30 is the base, unless you have
something. Oh, so I failed. No, so I failed. I don't have any. So let me try the other wound. And 73. So it seems like I haven't even stopped the bleeding.
So Jim, does that mean that mine has not actually been first aided as either?
That is correct.
All right. I'll give it a try myself. No, 71. Just kind of...
Suppose poke, I can try.
I poke my fingers out. Into the wound. Yeah.
Get away from that.
I'm messed up.
Odd 8 on whoever needed it.
That is
not an impale, though. Should I roll?
Yep.
That is a whopping 1 point, and I get to check that off.
Thank you, sir. Oh, Professor.
Yeah.
You're just saving the day.
Yes. I look over at Chance. Make sure you heard that. Anyone else need healing as I stand there with a big bullet hole on my side? But it's patched up now.
Well done, Professor. Patting on the shoulder.
Oh, thank you, Chance.
Finally, you're good for something.
Yes. Yes, thanks for helping me out at the very end there. I almost thought that last Jerry had us. Oh, wait, you were unconscious. Never mind.
All right, so we go and search the bodies, Jim.
Okay, they are German soldiers. Are you searching for anything in particular? Or?
Yeah, see if they have any orders, if the officer had any notepad for notes or, coordinates, see if they match our position, stuff like that. See what kind of information they had on them.
You find things, you find, maps and compasses and, what just look like notes of, where they've, the route they've taken and that sort of thing.
Okay.
They do have rifles, and I'm going to take the commander's submachine gun.
Okay.
And get bullets and see if they have grenades. And
yeah,
we should take rifles if we need them too, because there's all these German rifles.
Yeah.
Good for long range, I suppose.
Okay. All of the German soldiers have Mausers. 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's what, 8 of them?
Mauser pistols or rifles?
Rifles.
Okay.
And the soldier has an MP40, or the officer had an MP40, and he also has a Luger. Otherwise,
I'll take both of those.
Okay.
Unless there's an objection from people.
There's an objection from the German officer.
Well, good thing he's dead.
But otherwise, you don't find anything on the, on the bodies that seems of any interest to, nothing particularly interesting or that appears to be specific to you guys or this particular location, other than the patrol just was here.
Okay. I guess we need to bury the bodies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or burn him, but, you know, I believe he's...
No, I would not recommend burning. That might people might see it.
Yeah, yeah. This...
Just bury it in the snow and they'll be fine.
Yeah. That's what we do, Jim.
Okay. It takes you a little while to bury the bodies because the ground is, you know, quite frozen. In fact, you very quickly realize that if you actually want to bury the bodies, it's going to take you, like, you know, probably days to do so.
Doesn't it snow here up here too? Even though, I mean,
yeah.
So
yeah, if you just want to cover the bodies in snow, that's no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Just cover them.
Yes, to make sure that they are not easily spotted from, you know, from a distance.
Okay. That just takes a little bit of time. No big deal. And you manage to bury the body.
Okay. So we keep moving.
I'm not finding the Mauser rifle in the 6th edition. Is that like a special weapon for Octoon Cthulhu Gym?
Quite possibly.
I don't really need the stats for it until there's a battle. I'll just ask you then. How's that?
Okay. Or I'll just throw them in the chat here real quick.
Okay, sure. I don't want to slow you down.
Okay, so you guys continue on your way?
Yes.
We limp on our way. Try not to leave a blood trail.
Okay. Sven leads you back out on your skis. You continue on your way through the mountains.
Oh, did I miss skiing rolls? Darn.
Why don't y'all make another skiing roll just for fun?
Woo!
There you go. Hey,
I made it. Made it by 4. I get to check it.
Woo. Fail. Not a botch.
Obviously, I cannot keep up with the rest, and I get a 00.
Awesome.
Somebody wipes out.
2 wounded.
Agent Chance, let's take a D2.
Right.
You're going to be unconscious with 3 hit points.
thank you, Shannon.
Hey! I just wanted to make a roll. I'll come up and try to heal him. That is my penance for suggesting a Nordic roll. And my roll is 5. That's an impale chance.
Nice.
However, I don't think I can heal more than your 2 points. So you get your 2 points back. Or whatever, so you're at 3.
Yeah, I got 2 points. I lost.
Okay, then you're back at 3. I say, time to get up, chance. There's a whole world out there to conquer.
I cannot keep going, Professor.
Don't say that. Wounded. You'll bring morale down.
Just between you and me. Just between you and me, Professor. And I try to get up and keep going, even though I'm...
Alright. I say to Chance, look, you have to keep going, because if you don't, I'm going to be in charge. And I know how much you would hate that. So you have to stay up.
That'll give me a lot of force to keep going, Jim.
Plus 20 on all rolls.
Other than Agent Chance's mishap, you managed to, you know, continue on your way without too much difficulty. Shortly before noon, you can, you know, from your maps, you're able to tell, and, you know, Sven kind of indicates that you have... are crossing into Finland. And shortly after noon, you know, you're kind of in the, again, you're still, you know, kind of skiing through the, you know, rugged forest, and you come to a very large clearing with a number of cabins in it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Specifically 9 cabins and something that looks like a pen of some kind that Sven indicates is the village of Trelborg.
Okay. So we need to be careful. I guess the first place where we need to go is to your brother's house, Sven.
I'll stick the map in the Dropbox here. Everyone make listen rolls.
Hot 6.
Regular success.
Not an impale.
What's the base?
25.
I pass.
It is very quiet here.
I take cover.
Spot hidden rolls.
Is it passed?
99. What do I see?
Fail. 85.
Professor Everett is a little snowblind.
What's that in the snow there?
Those of you who pass realize that you don't see anyone.
This doesn't look good, Slim. Should be people outside. Why don't the rest of the company, you know, stay here for cover, and you go and see if you can see your brother? You are less suspicious.
he looks at you. Okay, well, we'll go look. And he makes his way. You know, he kind of starts walking into the village. And he's kind of looking around and looking around. And you see him. He approaches, kind of comes into the central area of the village and looks around. He kind of goes, right, so if you're looking at the map, right, most of the cabins make kind of a horseshoe, and then there's one in the middle. He kind of makes his way into the central area and kind of past the central area down towards, you know, you can just see what looks like a pen there of some kind. As he does so, you see him look off to his left. So in other words, he's looking towards the right of the map, and you see him just freeze.
Oh, no.
And...
All right.
He turns and he runs back towards you.
Okay. In that case, we'll wait.
And he can see when he gets back to his eyes are kind of wild. He's kind of shaking a little bit. That is not natural what has happened here. Oh my God in heaven.
What do you see, Sven? Calm down.
What happened?
The dogs. It is. Oh my dear Lord. The dogs.
All right. Stay here, Sven. You didn't see any Nazis around, right?
He just kind of looks at you with big wild eyes.
Okay. Let's take a look, peeps. Professor, let's go.
All right.
The rest of you stay behind. I want you to go mad.
Yes. Be careful. We've seen these things before, but you're all new.
Let's roll some sanity.
I pull out my Webley.
Okay. So, exactly where are you guys going? What are you doing?
Basically, we're going to follow the same steps that Sven took, you know, just to go to the same place where he came from.
Okay.
See what he saw.
Right. So, you kind of enter the village at the top of the horseshoe. You know, you can see that all the, you know, they're all, you know, what look like traditional Finnish cabins. It is very quiet. There's no smoke coming out of any of the chimneys. All of the cabins are closed.
Everyone is dead here.
When you get past so you kind of come down towards the cabin that's right in the center of the horseshoe, and you kind of go around it. So behind it, just below it on the map, that kind of open rectangular area, you can see is a pen of some kind. But the gate is busted and standing open. And kind of to the, if you're looking at the map, to its right, below the third cabin from the top on the right side there, you may all make sand rolls.
Okay. That's a fail.
Ot 7.
91.
Chance and I are going to run together.
Those of you who pass can have a 0 loss. Those of you who fail can have a 1-point loss.
Okay.
As you see what looks like a pack of dogs, fairly large dogs, very large, stick, thick, sturdy dogs, all of whom are pointed away from the village, so they're kind of pointed towards the right of the map. And they are standing, you know, their fur is up, their tail is up, they're kind of hunched. Some of them actually are, you know, lunging forward, mouths open, eyes wide. None of them are moving. They are all frozen in place.
Are they all on the ground, or is there a dog in the middle of the air, frozen?
There's a couple of them that look like they are frozen in mid-lunge. I mean, they're, you know, they're still in contact with the ground. They're not...
Mm.
You know, hanging in the air or anything like that. But.
Okay. Crazy. All right. doesn't make any sense. Let's start looking into the houses.
Indeed.
Very well.
Lead the way, Chansey.
Yes, lead the way.
You brain nice. All right, so we'll start with the third cabin on the right, you know, close to the pack of dogs.
Okay. It looks like a, you know, pretty typical cabin. You know, there's food and you know, there's some food on the shelves and you know, a bed and bedding and, you know, just normal everyday stuff, just empty. Okay. Empty of people.
All right, so we'll continue the search, going around full circle. Okay. See if we see any of interest on any of the houses.
Now, I don't think we actually got a clear answer on which one is Olaf's cabin from Sven.
That would be correct. You did not, because he didn't.
Let's ask him. Say, hey, Sven, which one's Olaf's?
The far one at the south end of the village.
Okay. All right. Well, then Peeves will start walking towards that one.
Okay. So as Agent Chance and Professor Everett look in the other cabins, for the most part, they all look kind of the same. In one of the cabins, there is a horrible, nasty, nasty, horrible, one of the worst smells you have ever smelled.
Are we getting to the house, or is this from the outside?
Just as soon as you open the door, you're just hit with that horrible smell.
Okay, so I will cover my nose and my mouth and get a flashlight and see if we can spot the place where the odor is coming from.
Okay. As you look around, it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly that what you are smelling is somebody's fish stew that was left on the stovetop. So there's a small stove, and on top of it is a pot, and in the pot is a fish stew that has been sitting there rotting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Someone left in a hurry, Professor.
Indeed. They may have been very intelligent to do that.
In none of the cabins are there any fires lit. One of the cabins, and in fact the one central in the village, is actually a forge. There's a furnace, an anvil, all that stuff. There is a, you know, the anvil in the center. There's a hammer laying on it. There's tongs laying on the floor next to the anvil. The fire in the furnace is, you know, like everywhere else, has gone out. Corporal.
Yes, sir.
You make your way to the furthest one south that Sven indicated, and you find a cabin like all the others.
Nothing standing out inside?
Nope.
Can I make a scrounge roll?
What are you trying to scrounge?
I don't know. If it's just totally barren?
No, it's not barren. I mean, there's bedding. You know, it looks lived in. Just abandoned.
I guess I'm just looking for any sign of Olaf, his brother, the radio.
You don't see anything.
Well, then I'll just move on to the next one.
Okay.
Just keep searching the houses and then meet back up with Agent Chance and Professor Everett.
Okay. So that's pretty much all you find.
Guys, I didn't find anything. Chancey? Professor?
Well, I guess we didn't find anything, you know, in any of the houses, neither. So, I guess...
Would you all make spot hidden rolls?
All right.
Ooh, 13. Ought two. That's an impale.
Okay. Corporal, as you were headed to and as you were leaving... what Sven identified as Olaf's cabin. Off to the right, leading out of the village, you can kind of see it on the map. There's kind of a little depression there. You see what looks like a big mass of footprints.
Hey, Chansey, Professor, look over there, or Mr. Seraph, look over there. It looks like there's a lot of tracks leading out that way.
Sven says, yes.
Is this the place where the dogs were pointing out?
Yes, yes.
Hmm.
This could be where the villagers were taken towards the camp. The mountain, Odin's Fist, is in this direction. He kind of kneels down and looks at the... and impales his track roll.
Pro.
There is something strange here. Look at these particular tracks here. There, no human foot made this. It is too long, too narrow.
What are you saying, Sven?
I do not know what I am saying, Peeves. Something not human was here.
Can I look at the track rolls and make a Cthulhu Mythos roll? Would that be all right, or is it too much of a stretch?
Nope, you can make a Cthulhu Mythos roll.
I did not make it, but okay. Chance might make it.
Here, let me try. I see one. All right, what do you recommend, Sven? Do we go to the mountain, see if we find your people?
You are in charge, Agent Chance. This is your party, as they say.
But do you think that's the place where they went to?
This is what Olaf had said, yes. If you would give me a moment, I would like to see his cabin. Just...
Sure. Well, he's doing that, and I'm going to see if... Can we take a look at one of the dogs and see why is he frozen in place?
You may.
What the hell happened to him?
Peeves is going to accompany Sven to Olaf's cabin.
Okay. We will stick with Agent Chance, investigating the dogs first.
Okay.
Professor okay. Everett, are you going with Agent Chance, or...?
What is our...
Study the petrified
favorite dogs? NPC doing? Is he hanging around, or is he going to look at something?
He's just hanging around.
Okay. Then I will go with whoever asks me, and if nobody asks, I'll go with Chance.
Okay. I presume that means you're going to go with Chance.
Nobody else said anything. Yeah.
Mr. Seraph goes with you.
Okay.
And so as Agent Chance goes to look at the dogs and he kind of reaches out to touch one of them, you may both make sand rolls.
Okay. Looking good. Missed again.
Same here.
It had to catch up with me. I made all those combat rolls, so, you know.
You can both lose a D3.
Woo!
As at the barest touch from Agent Chance, the dog collapses into a fine white powder.
Oh, wow.
I can't explain this. Clearly, some extraordinary agency has been at work here. Dogs frozen, the village picked clean. No trace of Strug. Can only begin to guess what is behind this.
Yes, I wonder what it could be, and I glance at Chance.
I would like to know what the weapon that was supposed to be in this area, you know, the tales of this weapon were all about. Like, if it is a weapon that will freeze people on the spot and stuff like that. Things like what we are seeing here with the dogs. If I don't know, I will wait and ask them. And on the other hand, I will take a look at the white powder. Mm-hmm. Is it very distinctive from the snow?
Not really. You know, it's obviously not snow, but you know, it's just kind of somewhere between salt and sugar and flour. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of some slightly crystalline white powder.
Okay, see if we can find more powder, you know, around the area before we go.
You're pretty well certain that if there was, you know, like piles of the powder hidden or, you know, in the cabins, you would have seen it already. Okay. And if it's out mingled amongst the snow, you're never gonna find it.
Okay.
The only reason you can really tell, you know, here is because you saw it. You know, you saw the dog dissolve and collapse right there.
Got it.
Corporal Peeves.
Yes.
You return with Sven to his brother's cabin.
Say, I don't know what you're looking for, Sven, but didn't look like anyone was here. Just looked deserted.
No, I just wanted to... And he kind of stops and cocks his head. And you hear what sounds like somebody groaning underneath the floor.
Wow. So is there a crawl space or a hiding space in here?
You look around, and you can see a section of the floor kind of push upwards a little bit.
I'll go over and pull it up.
You pull it up, and you look in, and you see a man who might look very similar to Sven, except that he looks like he has been beat to hell and back.
Say, oh my god, buddy! What happened to you?
And Sven runs over. Olaf! And he starts trying to, he picks up what you now realize is, the floorboards, that are kind of cut away in a hole, and he kind of throws those out of the way and starts trying to drag Olaf out of the hole underneath the floor.
Yeah, we'll get him out, and then I'll try and first aid him and see if I can help him out.
Okay.
Ah, 15. I can. And for 3 points.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. What happened? What happened to you, Olaf?
You are British?
No. I'm American. Oh.
The Americans have come. Oh,
well,
wonderful.
We're with the British. Same difference. So what happened? What happened here? Your brother's here. We just came. What's going on?
At that point, as you ask that, you kind of realize that Seraph walks in the door behind you, Mr. Seraph.
Say, Stuffy, this guy, he's alive. He's been beat to hell.
And I presume that if they were paying attention, Agent Chance and Professor Everett will come join.
Yes, I'll leave Seraph alone for a minute and say, hold on, Stuffy, I'll be right back. I'm gonna go get the other guys, and I'll step out the front door and just kind of like give a whistle across the village to the guys, since they're not too far away. Just they're at the dog pen.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I'll go to with Pips.
Okay. And with that, Olaf will start to tell you his story. And I think it's a little early, but I think that's actually a good place to break it for them.
All right.
Okay.
He has a long story to tell.
Very good.
It actually suggests in the way that the scenario was written, here's Olaf's story, all the, the usual kind of bullet points that it gives you, that a scenario will give you for stuff about when a NPC is trying to give you information, which lasts for about 2 full pages altogether.
Whoa. Front and back or just?
No, just 2 pages. Or the scenario actually suggests, if desired, you can just read it straight out of the novella.
Oh, yeah, there's a novella.
Yes.
For this scenario.
Yes.
Yeah. Once we finish it, I will read it.
So there's an info dump coming. Let's just say that.
All right.
Nice.
So I think we're best off waiting until next time to do the info dump.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Always been a pleasure.
Thanks especially to Agent Chance for saving us.
Yes. Chancey. The one and only Agent Chance.
I threw the first grenade.
That's true, you did. We were all inspired.
All right, guys. So, hear you in 2 weeks, Shannon.
All right. So 2 weeks, Randall.
Hear you on Sunday.
See the rest of you on Sunday.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
All right, bye. Later.
So, joining me is Mr. John Houlihan, author of The Trelborg Monstrosities. John can be found online on Twitter at JohnH259 or John-Houlihan.net. And both of those links will be in the show notes for this session. So, John, thank you for joining me.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Pretty good.
So, John, you are the author of the Trelleborg Monstrosities.
Indeed, yes.
One of the first Actum Cthulhu scenarios from Modiphius.
That's right, yes, absolutely.
Now, as I understand it, Trelleborg Monstrosities, of course, is both the Call of Cthulhu scenario and a novella. And I believe the novella actually came first.
Yeah, that's right. I was having a chat with Chris, who's the Overlord at Modiphius, the Dark Overlord, one evening over a beer, over an entirely unrelated matter, and he was telling me about, you know, how he'd set up Modiphius and the publishing house, and showed me some of the stuff, and I thought, wow, well, this is a fantastic scenario for exploring, you know, World War II crossed with Cthulhu. It's a very appealing world for a writer. So I said to him, well, you know, have you considered maybe some fictional forays into this world? And he was, well, that's quite interesting. I hadn't, but I am now. And so I sort of put my hand up and volunteered to write the first one. And the Trelleborg Monstrosities was the resulting novella. The novella definitely came first, although I do game design. I'm probably primarily more a writer, and the novella came first, and then I kind of adapted it for the game design. It was an interesting process doing it that way around, most certainly, and I think I probably learned quite a lot, probably not to do the fiction first, but to do the scenario first next time. But yeah, it was a very kind of fascinating task, shall we say, to try and translate that very linear fiction into something a little bit more free form that people could actually play around with and enjoy.
So did you know as you were writing the novella that it was going to be a scenario, or not until after you had finished it?
Well, I kind of sort of had half an ear, as it were, towards the doing the scenario. But actually, when I came to writing it, that simply had to take a back seat, and it was, you know, write this as fiction and don't worry too much, we'll worry about that later. So the fiction, I had an idea it may eventually be adapted into a scenario, but I had to really concentrate on making it work as a novella first. And it was only after Chris read it and said, oh great, you should do the scenario based on that now, that I was like, okay, interesting, how am I going to do this? And as I say, it's quite a fascinating challenge to actually try and translate that from one to the other.
Hopefully without too many spoilers, are there any particular points that you found it especially difficult to, you know, translate from the novella, which of course has a defined plot and a, you know, consistent storyline, to, you know, the more open-ended, you know, scenario that needs to allow the players enough latitude that they feel like they're actually playing something and making their own choices and decisions versus just following your predefined plot?
Sure. I mean, there's quite a big tension between player agency and actual narrative, I always find, and it's a particular struggle if you've earned your trade as a writer for a while. There were some things that were a struggle to include, and that when I was adapting it for the and during the subsequent playtesting and sort of peer review, because we all sort of have a look at each other's work at Modiphius, you know, that was the kind of constant thing that came up was, you know, you've got this very linear path, but how do you give the players freedom within that sort of path to kind of pick their own way? And so we had to sort of, you know, adapt little bits of it. And there's, you know, I like to think of the scenario as a suggested path, one of possibly many, but the path that would sort of most closely parallel the novella. And of course, the other thing that came up was the mysterious Mr. Seraph, who's sort of the star of the novella and hopefully a smallest part of the scenario too, kind of curtailing him and his, you know, very powerful abilities and insight, and giving the players the chance to do their own thing and discover it all for themselves. I was very conscious and actually had to do a few rewrites to kind of bring that out more.
Okay, because he's actually where I was going to go next, because he is, you know, clearly in the novella, he is, you know, a central, if not the central, you know, obviously not the viewpoint character, but certainly a central character in the novella. And he plays a very crucial role in the scenario as well. You know, was that difficult trying to keep him in that role without, you know, taking too much ability away from the players?
Yeah, I mean, it was a struggle. I think, I mean, we got pretty much most of the way to solving it as well, you know, giving the players a chance to do their thing before he sort of steps in. But I thought the way we'd best approach it is to make him someone that the keeper would have a great deal of fun with. And I think hopefully I've certainly enjoyed your kind of interpretation of Mr. Serra. I also wanted a little bit of a tension between him and the players. I wanted them to feel, is this guy really on our side? Has he got his own agenda? Is he, you know, what's his deal, basically? And to be a little bit frustrated and annoyed and annoyed with him, because he is quite annoying, it must be said.
he certainly should be, I think. Yeah. Were there any problems, for instance, during playtesting, because he is, you know, such a very, very early on, it becomes very clear that he is, you know, very strangely powerful.
Sure.
And he does have that kind of odd demeanor about him. You know, were there any problems or issues where, you know, players would turn on him and say, well, you know, whatever is going on, clearly this strange guy right here must be the source of our problems, so he becomes the perceived villain?
Yeah, he never got quite to that stage or certainly never in any of the scenarios I've played out. I mean, it might be possible in the real world, but there was never sort of a revolt against Seraph, because I think you've always got the kind of military discipline thing there as well, and also one of the first orders that the team are given are, you know, pay attention to this guy, because he's very much someone you need to listen to. So, yeah, no one really revolted against him. Quite a few people took a dislike to him. And you had to slowly kind of, you know, you slowly had to kind of convince them that he was indeed on the side of the angels, as I think one of the sort of rumours about him you get to hear tell you. But, yeah, a little bit of a struggle. He's for me, he was the main character to come out of the entire fiction, both the novella and the scenario, to such an extent that I've gone on and written three more Seraph adventures two completed novellas, and I'm just about halfway through the third one now. So, yeah, four Seraph stories all told. There must have been something about him that I kind of liked, or at least stuck with me.
Well, that'll be good to look forward to. Is he going to show up in any more published scenarios?
Well, definitely, yeah. I mean, I took after Trailburg, I took some real time to kind of try and develop this character, and I took him back to Napoleonic France at one point in a story called The Crystal Void. He's back in World War II in the Desert War during 1941 in a novella called Tomb of the Eons. And I'm just working on a kind of futuristic scenario, a futuristic novella now, sort of a near future novella set, ironically enough, in a flooded Britain, which we're kind of experiencing at the moment for real at the moment.
So it's a current day story.
Yeah, well, I said near future. I didn't realise how near at the time. But definitely, I have plans for two more scenarios featuring Mr. Serif, probably to a slightly lesser degree than Trailburg, but he will still be playing a part there. I think probably one based around D-Day, and then I'd really like to do one sort of in the fall of Berlin, which I think would make kind of quite a nice trilogy towards the end, you know, round out a trilogy towards the end of the war. So there's definitely plans afoot. Hopefully I'll have at least one of those scenarios done by sort of mid this year. Hopefully his return will be not too long.
And the new fiction that's going to be through Modiphius as well?
Yeah, we've got some plans to issue them as novellas, and then we'll probably do a kind of first omnibus, which I'm going to call The Chronicles of the White Witchman, which is going to be quite interesting, which will be all four stories and all four novellas collected into one, which should be quite good fun.
Excellent. How long do we have to wait?
Well, the first two novellas are away being looked at and edited at the moment, so hopefully it won't be, you know, too long before they're out. And I'm playing through the third one. I just did a word count today, the fourth one rather, and it's up to about 20,000 words already. So hopefully I'll have that polished off in the next month or two.
Sounds great. Well, we'll definitely look forward to seeing those come out.
Definitely. And I'd just like to say I've been really enjoying Skype of Cthulhu as well. I've been really enjoying kind of listening to you guys play out in the wild, as it were. Very entertaining. It's been great fun.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're listening, and glad we're able to give you some entertainment out there. You're certainly bringing entertainment to us. So.
Oh, thank you very much. And just to say, if anyone's interested, you can follow me on Twitter at JohnH259 or my website, john-houlihan.net. I usually post all my latest doings on there, so there'll probably be first news there.
And we'll put both those in the show notes. Great. John, I appreciate you joining me.
No worries. Great to talk to you, Jim.
And we'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
And take care. Bye. Yeah.